And it is my desire to serve the Lord this morning. And I'm going to get right to my reading, because I already took some time from my testimony earlier. And I want us to start, and if you want to follow along, in 1 John, the ones that are almost at the back, in the 4th chapter, starting at number 1, 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, do we hear the word of God today? I think we've already felt his spirit in the testimonies. I hope that it is your desire in coming to this rally to hear the Spirit of God. But are we prepared to listen? Are we of God so that we can hear and understand? Or are we like those that don't know God when he speaks? We should know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, or right or wrong. Now I'm going to read the rest of this chapter, starting at 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Whereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I'm going to stop there just a second. I want you to think about that. Are we Christ-like in this world? Are we like Christ? That we can have boldness in this day. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I have to admit, sometimes I have fear. I have fear that things won't work out with my insurance, or fear that something will happen that I won't want to deal with. Last week, week and a half ago, I've seen examples of some of the worst fear Because when I talked about the kids that were killed in the car wreck, one of the fathers of the girl that was driving the car, she was late getting home. And he knew the other kids that she was taking home. And he called the first girl on the route, and she answered the phone and said, "No, Sammy dropped us off and continued on a while ago." So he got in his car and he went looking, following the route that he knew she would be on. And he found the wreck. Of course, the police and the firemen were already there, and they were holding up tarps so that you couldn't see as they took the bodies out. But what he wrote in the newspaper was, "I could see enough of that car. I knew it was my daughter's car." I can't imagine that family's pain. You know, it could have been Ben. It could have been Dee's grandkids back in April. You know, and I feel bad for the 20-year-old man that was driving the truck that hit him. You know, if either one of them had been driving slower because of the rain, maybe it wouldn't have happened. He's going to live with what ifs all of his life. What if I had left a minute sooner? What if I had driven 5 miles an hour slower? You know, that's always going to be in the back of his mind. And we're always going to have what ifs in the back of our minds about things that we have done. And we're blessed because we can repent when we know we've done wrong. 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, "I love God," and he hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And I want to back up to the first chapter of this same book of John. And I'm going to read the first chapter there and part of the second one, and then we're going to go to the Book of Mormon. First chapter, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And today, I want our fellowship to be with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And tomorrow, and the next day, and every day after that, my desire for each of you and for myself is to have fellowship with God and Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And as far as from my personal life, I would be a liar if I stood here and said I have not sinned, because I have. Each of us have. But we do have an opportunity to repent. second chapter, 1 John. My little children, these things I write unto ye, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Whereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So that's the path that we should follow, the path that Christ followed. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, if you'll set that aside, I want to go over in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start on page 166, and that's going to be in Jacob, right after 2 Nephi. I'm going to read the first chapter and part of the second. And if you don't remember your history real good, Jacob is Nephi's younger brother. He's a godly man. He'd be a good example for us to follow. For behold, it came to pass that 55 years had passed away from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem. Wherefore Nephi gave me, Jacob, a commandment concerning these small plates, upon which these things are engraven. And he gave me, Jacob, a commandment that I should write upon these plates a few of the things which I considered to be most precious, that I should not touch, save it were lightly, concerning the history of this people, which are called the people of Nephi. For he said that the history of his people should be engraven upon his other plates, and that I should preserve these plates and hand them down unto my seed from generation to generation. And if there were preaching which was sacred, or revelation which was great, or prophesying, that I should engraven the heads of them upon these plates, and touch upon them as much as it were possible, for Christ's sake, and for the sake of our people. For because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people what things should happen unto them. And we also had many revelations and the spirit of much prophecy, wherefore we knew of Christ and his kingdom which should come. Now, my comments in the bottom of the book say that this is about the time frame 542 to 421 B.C. So we're talking over 400 years before Christ was born. They knew he was coming. They knew what his name was going to be. And they knew these things. That's how prophecy works. Wherefore we labor diligently among our people, that we might persuade them to come unto Christ, and partake of the goodness of God, that they might enter into his rest, lest by any means he should swear in his wrath, they should not enter in, as in the provocation in the days of temptation, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Wherefore we would to God that we could persuade all men not to rebel against God, to provoke him to anger, but that all men would believe in Christ, and view his death, and suffer his cross, and bear the shame of the world. Wherefore I, Jacob, take it upon me to fulfill the commandment of my brother Nephi. Now Nephi began to be old, and he saw that he must soon die. Wherefore he appointed a man to be a king, and a ruler over his people, now according to the reigns of the kings. The people, having loved Nephi exceedingly, he having been a great protector for them, having wielded the sword of Laban in their defense, and having labored in all his days for their welfare, wherefore the people were desirous to retain in remembrance his name. And whoso should reign in his stead were called by the people, 2 Nephi, 3 Nephi, etc., according to the reign of the kings, and thus they were called by the people, let them be of whatever name they would. And it came to pass that Nephi died. Now the people which were not Lamanites were Nephites. Nevertheless, they were called Nephites, Jacobites, Josephites, Zoramites, Lamanites, Lemuelites, and Ishmaelites. But I, Jacob, shall not hereafter distinguish them by these names, but I shall call them Lamanites, they that seek to destroy the people of Nephi, and they which are friendly to Nephi, I shall call Nephites, or the people of Nephi, according to the reign of the kings. I like to try to think of myself as being a Nephite, because I don't want to be a Lamanite and fighting against the world of God. But I, Jacob, shall not... 15. I read that, 14 already. And now it came to pass that the people of Nephi would reign under the second king. They began to grow hard in their hearts, and indulged themselves somewhat in wicked practices, such as like unto David of old, desiring many wives and concubines, and also Solomon his son. Yea, and they also began to search much gold and silver, and began to be lifted up somewhat in pride. Wherefore I, Jacob, gave unto them these words as I taught them in the temple, having firstly obtained my errand from the Lord. And I have made a little note here in the example of Jacob that before you get up and preach, or before you're in charge of a service, you have to obtain your errand from the Lord. Well, how do you do that? You pray about it, and you have to be willful to be obedient to God, to follow his leadings and however he guides you. For I, Jacob, and my brother Joseph had been consecrated priests and teachers of this people by the hand of Nephi, and we did magnify our office unto the Lord, taking upon us the responsibility, answering the sins of the people upon our own heads, if we did not teach them the word of God with all diligence. Wherefore, by laboring with our mights, their blood might not come upon our garments. Otherwise, their blood would come upon our garments, and we would not be found spotless at that last day. Second chapter. The words which Jacob, the brother of Nephi, spake unto the people of Nephi after the death of Nephi. Now, my beloved brethren, I, Jacob, according to the responsibility which I am under to God, to magnify mine office with soberness, and that I might rid my garments of your sins, I come up into the temple this day, that I might declare unto you the word of God. And ye yourselves know that I have hitherto been diligent in the office of my calling, but this day I am weighed down with much more desire and anxiety for the welfare of your souls than I have hitherto been. For behold, as yet ye have been obedient unto the word of the Lord, which I have given unto you. But behold, hearken ye unto me, and know that by the help of the all-powerful Creator of heaven and earth, I can tell you concerning your thoughts, how that ye are beginning to labor in sin, which sin appeareth very abominable unto me, and abominable unto God. Yea, it grieveth my soul, and causeth me to shrink with shame before the presence of my Maker, that I must testify unto you concerning the wickedness of your hearts. And also it grieveth me that I must use so much boldness of speech concerning you before your wives and your children, many of those whose feelings are exceeding tender and chaste and delicate before God, which thing is pleasing unto God. And it supposeth me that they have come up hither to hear the pleasing word of God, yea, the word which healeth the wounded soul. Wherefore it burdeneth my soul that I should be constrained, because of the strict commandment which I have received from God, to admonish you according to your crimes, to enlarge the wounds of those which are already wounded, instead of consoling and healing their wounds. And those which have been, which have not been wounded, instead of feasting upon the pleasing word of God, have daggers placed to pierce their souls and wound their delicate minds. But notwithstanding the greatness of the task, I must do according to the strict commandments of God, and tell you concerning your wickedness and abominations in the presence of the pure in heart and the broken heart, and under the glance of the piercing eye of the Almighty God. Wherefore I must tell you the truth, according to the plainness of the word of God. For behold, as I inquired of the Lord, thus came the word unto me, saying, Jacob, get thou up into the temple on the morrow, and declare the word which I shall give thee unto this people. And now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you and to your seed, doth abound most plentiful. And the hand of providence hath smiled upon you most pleasingly, that ye have obtained many riches. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts, and wear stiff necks and high heads, because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren, because that ye suppose that ye are better than they. And now, my brethren, do ye suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he condemneth you. And if ye persist in these things, his judgment must speedily come unto you. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye, he can smite you to the dust. Oh, that he would rid you from his iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commands, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before ye seek riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after that ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride. And those of you which have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him, because that ye were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given you, what say ye of it? Do ye not suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh, and the one being is as precious in his sight as the other? All flesh is of the dust, and for the self same end hath he created them, which means each one of us, that they should keep his commandments and glorify Him forever. That's part of why we're here today. We're keeping His commandments, and we're glorifying Him. Jacob chastised his brothers and the people, but I want you to think about this. If Jacob was standing up here today, would he have any less to say to us here? I know that we have many of the same problems in our society, not just pride, but a lack of Christian love and concern for our fellow man. In our low economy, what are we doing for our neighbors? Are we hoarding all that we've been blessed with, including the gospel? Or are we giving where we see need? You know, it's easy sometimes to think about if you're hoarding your money or your tools or your lawnmower or whatever, but we may not think much about if we're hoarding the gospel. Do we come to church, get filled up, and then put a cap on it until next Sunday when we get filled up some more, and put a cap on it until the next time? Or do we leave that cap off? Are we a bright candle that everybody else can see, or do they just look at us and go, if there's some spirit in there, it must be capped pretty tight because I don't see it? We need to take the cap off. How can we expect Jesus to meet our needs if we're only focused on our own desires? I want you to go over to the fourth chapter of Jacob, page 188. And now, behold, my brethren, as I said unto you that I would prophesy, behold, this is my prophecy, that the things which this prophet Zenas spake concerning the house of Israel, in the which he likened them unto a tame olive tree, must surely come to pass. And in the day that he shall set his hand again the second time to recover his people, is the day, yea, even the last time, that the servants of the Lord shall go forth in his power to nourish and prune his vineyard. And after that, the end soon cometh. Do we think about that, about the end coming? When Brother Bill speaks, when I speak, when Leslie speaks, hopefully we're going forth in power, that we're nourishing and pruning, that we're working in the vineyard of Christ. And how blessed are they who have labored diligently in his vineyard, and how cursed are they which shall be cast out into their own place, and the world shall be burned with fire. And how merciful is our God unto us, for he remembereth the house of Israel, both roots and branches, and he stretches forth his hand unto them all the day long. And they are a stiff-necked and a gainsaying people. But as many as will not harden their hearts shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I beseech of you in words of soberness that ye would repent and come with full purpose of heart, and cleave unto God as he cleaveth unto you. And while his arm of mercy is extended towards you in the light of day, harden not your hearts. Yea, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, for why will ye die? For behold, after that ye have been nourished by the good word of God all day long, will ye bring forth evil fruit, that ye must be hewn down and cast into the fire? Behold, will ye reject these words? Will ye reject the words of the prophets, and will ye reject all the words which have been spoken concerning Christ, after that so many have spoken concerning him, and deny the good word of Christ, and the power of God, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and quench the Holy Spirit, and make a mock of the great plan of redemption which hath been laid for you? Know ye not that if ye will do these things, that the power of the redemption and the resurrection which is in Christ will bring you to stand with shame and awful guilt before the bar of God? and according to the power of justice, for justice cannot be denied, that ye must go away into that lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames are unquenchable, and whose smoke ascendeth up forever and ever, which lake of fire and brimstone is endless torment. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, repent ye, and enter in at the strait gate, and continue in the way which is narrow, until ye shall obtain eternal life. Oh, be wise. What can I say more? Finally, I bid you farewell until I shall meet you before the pleasing bar of God, which bar striketh the wicked with an awful dread and fear. Amen. Do we fear or look forward with joy and expectation? Are we fearful in our spirit that we're going to get there to judgment and he's going to go, yeah, make it? Or are we confident? Do we feel God's love in us in everything we do? Have we repented of our sins? Are we close to him? When we get there, is he going to say, boy, I'm glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here with me today. Turn over just a couple of pages. 199. It's one of the shortest books in here, Jerem. It's just a little book. Doesn't have a whole lot of verses, but it has a whole lot to say. And now, behold, I, Jerem, write a few words according to the commandment of my father Enos, that our genealogy may be kept. And as these plates are small, and these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren, the Lamanites, wherefore it must needs be that I write a little. But I shall not write the things of my prophesying, nor of my revelations. For what could I write more than my fathers have written? For have they not revealed the plan of salvation? I say unto you, yea, and this sufficeth me. Behold, it is expedient that much should be done among this people, because of the hardness of their hearts, and the deafness of their ears, and the blindness of their minds, and the stiffness of their necks. Nevertheless, God is exceeding merciful unto them, and has not as yet swept them off from the face of the land. And there are many among us which have many revelations, for they are not all stiff-necked. And as many are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit, which maketh manifest unto the children of men according to their faith. Where are we today in communing with that Holy Spirit? Are we just sitting here hearing and not listening? Or are we hearing? Do we hear not just with our ears, but with our soul? Does our soul feel the presence of God here today? I'm going to finish up this little chapter here. And now, behold, 200 years had passed away, and the people of Nephi had waxed strong in the land. They observed to keep the law of Moses and the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord, and they profaned not, neither did they blaspheme, and the laws of the land were exceeding strict. And the laws of our land are not exceeding strict. But we're under the laws in these books. We're not going to be excused at judgment day if we get up there and say, well, the law of the land didn't say I'd get in trouble for speeding that much. You know, the Bible says we follow the laws of the land, but spiritually we have to follow these laws. This is what we're going to be judged on, as if we did what Christ told us. And one of the things he tells us is follow the law of the land. But there's a whole lot of things in our society that are getting messed up, and laws that are in conflict with what we know is right. So we have to make decisions sometimes to put ourselves out there as, that's not what I believe. Some people may believe something that we don't, and maybe the law says what they believe is legal, but it may not be moral. And we have to hold ourselves to a moral standard. And they were scattered upon much of the face of the land, and the Lamanites also, and they were exceeding more numerous than were they of the Nephites, and they loved murder and would drink the blood of beasts. And it came to pass that they came many times against us, the Nephites, to battle, but our kings and our leaders were mighty men in the faith of the Lord, and they taught the people the ways of the Lord. Wherefore we withstood the Lamanites and swept them away out of our lands, and began to fortify our cities or whatsoever place of our inheritance. And we multiplied exceedingly and spread upon the face of the land, and became exceeding rich in gold and in silver and all, and in precious things, and in fine workmanship of wood and buildings and machinery, and also in iron and copper and brass and steel, and making of all manner of tools of every kind to till the ground, and weapons of war. Yea, the sharp-pointed arrow, and the quiver, and the dart, and the javelin, and all preparations for war. And thus being prepared to meet the Lamanites, they did not prosper against us. But the word of the Lord was verified, which he spake unto our fathers, saying, that is, inasmuch as ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. And it came to pass that the prophets of the Lord did threaten the people of Nephi, according to the word of God, that if they did not keep the commandments, but should fall into transgression, they should be destroyed from off the face of the land. Wherefore the prophets and the priests and the teachers did labor diligently, exhorting with all longsuffering the people to diligence, teaching the law of Moses and the intent for which it was given, persuading them to look forward unto the Messiah and believe in him to come, as though he already was. And after this manner they did teach them. And it came to pass that by doing so they kept them from being destroyed upon the face of the land, for they did prick their hearts with the word, continually stirring them up to repentance. I hope that you feel as I do the power in these words, that you'll examine yourself and feel your heart pricked and have a desire to repent and follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Turn over a couple of pages to the next little bitty chapter called Omni, on page 202. The people of Mosiah and Zarahemla are uniting together here, and they discover the Jaredite record, and Mosiah is able to translate it. I'm going to read verses 35 to 47 here. And it came to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with engravings on it. And he did interpret the engravings by the gift and holy power of God. And they gave one account, or they gave an account, of one Corianimer and the slain of his people. And Corianimer was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. Does anybody know how many or how long a moon is? It's about a month. And it also spake a few words concerning his fathers and his first parents that came out from the tower at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people. And the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgments, which are just, and their bones lay scattered in the land northward. Behold, I, Amalekai, was born in the days of Mosiah, and I have lived to see his death, and Benjamin his son reigneth in his stead. And behold, I have seen in the days of King Benjamin a serious war and much bloodshed between the Nephites and the Lamanites. But behold, the Nephites did obtain much advantage over them, yea, insomuch that King Benjamin did drive them out of the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that I began to be old, and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before God. Wherefore I shall deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel, and believing in prophesying, and in revelations, and the ministering of angels, and in the gift of speaking with tongues, and in the gift of interpreting languages, and in all things which are good. For there is nothing which is good, save it comes from the Lord, and that which is evil cometh from the devil. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, which is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of his salvation and the power of his redemption. Yea, come unto him, and offer your whole souls as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and praying, and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. Do you see a common thread here in some of the scriptures and the thoughts? It's repentance. A willingness to endure through whatever trials may come, believing in the power of our Maker to sustain us, Now, if you go back in Ether, page 745, fifth chapter, I'm going to read just a couple of verses there, and then we'll be back in the Bible for just a minute. But in Ether, this kind of continues a little bit of Cory Antimer's story, reinforces some of the thoughts. Chapter 5, page 745, fifth chapter of Ether, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass that the days of Ether were in the days of Coriantumr. And Coriantumr was king over all the land. And Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people. For he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from morning until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God, unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. Like I said earlier, I hope today that we're glorifying God. Now, if you go back in your Bible to Jude, just another little bitty book right at the front of Revelations. Just have one little chapter here. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Are we earnestly contending in our daily lives that our faith would be strengthened, that we might have faith like the early saints did? For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Can you even begin to imagine how beings who lived in God's presence, the angels, gave that up? How they were so tempted and they didn't have enough strength to refuse the devil, and they lost their salvation, and they're still in hell. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But speak these evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are, without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, and plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. There are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others have fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto he that is able. I'm going to leave you at. Hopefully I haven't used all of Bill's thoughts or other brothers' thoughts for this morning, this afternoon. But these were the thoughts and the scriptures that the Lord placed on my heart that I needed to hear, and that I hope each of you needed to hear them also. Thank you for your attention.